3 days away from the Battle of Ohio, it is hour number two of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Don't forget tomorrow to paint the town Browns. Do it each and every Friday this season. Wear your favorite Browns gear and decorate your work or school on Fridays throughout the season. Then send us your photos using the hashtag #WeAreCleveland.
Oh, yeah. Hey, tomorrow, too, as a reminder, I'm going to be at the PNC Bank in Medina. Want you to come out and see us there. You're going to be here in the studio, but here in Berea, but I'll be out there with, and this will be a nice, couple of alumni going to show up. Frank Stams and Dave Wallabaugh will be in attendance out there signing autographs, taking photos, interacting over at the PNC Bank. It is 5120 Bueller's Drive, 5120 Bueller's Drive in Medina. So come see us there. It starts with, and our show will be 1 to 3 p.m., the usual time, and so we'll be in that same framework, but the event will continue on to 6 p.m., and I think Frank Stamps is actually going to join us on the show, so we'll get some old school, a little old school Browns conversation with Frank, and there's food, there's beverage, there's all kinds of stuff that you're going to want to be a part of, and the forecast looks like another beautiful, I think we've had, I want to say it's pretty much been 4 for 4. This is the fourth and final of these tailgate parties with PNC. Great weather. And you're inside.
I know. And you get to be outside enjoying the sun, schmoozing with the fans of the Browns.
A lot of schmoozage.
Get some good food, some good keychains of CBD,
which I covet. All right, you're going to get a key. I got to just talk with Katie, one of our interns, who is the keeper of the keychains. And those are kept. Those are like in a box. It's a special box with keychains. She carries the cardboard box to this event because you put them on the table, people go.
They're gone. She's the keymaster. She's the keymaster. Somebody else is the gatekeeper. Where's Gozer the Gozerian?
I love that. Little Ghostbusters reference is a beautiful thing. Let's go to Tom in Canfield, a big Ghostbusters fan, I believe. Hey, Tom.
What's up, Tom?
Hey, guys. Youngstown Cardinal Mooney, class of 87, repping. How you guys doing?
Nice.
Love the show.
Thank you.
Hey, what I like about this new Browns regime is they seem to be bold. And I have a proposed move that I propose that the Browns should make. That's a bold move. What do you guys think about this? Brandon Whedon. I can't think of a cornerback, number 21, and two first round picks, two first round picks next year for Vincent Jackson, Darrell Revis, and we become an instant monster.
It's interesting. I don't know that it would happen, but it certainly would be interesting.
That's one of those.
It's like a fantasy
trade. I was going to say, that trade that you put that together soundly. I'm going to tell you that very soundly. I don't know what it would mean to Mark Dominic at the other end in Tampa Bay, but I know him pretty well, and it doesn't sound like the kind of deal he would necessarily want to make. From the Browns standpoint, it's a win. I would think would be a win trade here.
Right.
Although getting rid of your firsts for a receiver and a corner probably isn't the way you'd go.
And it's on big contracts. You're bringing in massive amounts of money.
One of our first round picks, it came from our trade we already had.
I understand. It's like you're working with surplus bonus, and sure. I get what your rationale is, but I think the rule of thumb is you don't do that unless you're talking quarterback.
I said Brandon Weeden in there, and I say, if Tampa goes 0-4, they know their season's over, and maybe after 0-4 they might be willing to look at, even if you had to throw another second round pick or something, or third round pick.
And here's the other thing, and again, appreciate your call. But that's a lot of picks for an organization that their value and what they see with these picks. Now, I'm not saying they love picks just to have picks, because picks better turn into players and good players for you. But with regard to how they're building their football team, and Nathan made the great point about the contracts, the size of those deals that you're now pulling into your
massive
organization, and it's risky. It's so risky with Revis's health. Vincent Jackson's health. I mean, there's questions enough to me that I'm probably not going to – I'm not giving up the picks. If they did players for players, which they wouldn't, which they would never, I would do that, because the most attractive part of the Browns package on that was the pick deal, the picks that he was
describing. That's the only part that was probably attractive to them. You know, it's interesting. I think those are the kind of trades that are made by teams that feel that they're a piece away from competing.
Right.
The Browns still need to address the quarterback position, and that would leave them without any early picks. and you know, some talent, certainly.
Pieces away. Another Drew with us, this one from Erie, PA. Hey, Drew.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
All right, man.
Yeah, not to mention both Vincent Jackson and Revis. They're both over 30, if I'm correct. But I just want to touch on the running game real quick. Heard you guys talking earlier about that. And I actually think we're going to start to see an improvement in the running game this week. I was watching ESPN yesterday, and they were showing game film of T. Rich from the angle of the running back and how he seemed to miss a lot of holes a lot of the time. If the holes were there,
yes,
for a second, but he just, maybe he's not seeing them yet, or that'll come with maturity. I still think he's going to be end up being a pretty good back, but, you know. And the other thing, you know, Moss McGahee, he may be 31, but, you know, there's a spell in his career there when he was with Baltimore and before that where he shared the load. So, I mean, if you look at his career carries, I mean, I actually looked it up. He's got 1,965 career carries. Adrian Peterson has 1,923 career carries. So, I mean, you're talking about a difference of, you know, that probably saved him a couple seasons. And he's, yeah, a solid back. So, I mean, I think once he shakes off the rust, I mean, we're going to see an improvement there. And I had a quick question for you guys. You know anything about Sean Lavelle? I'm going to hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate the call. You know, Wilson, yeah, he doesn't have as much tread on his tires as his age would indicate.
Right.
I hope that the running game can get better because, I mean, if they can just get to 4 yards a carry, it's going to open things up for this offense in a major way. And, yes, I saw the thing that he was saying. Did you see that about Trent Richardson and,
yes,
the vision? And that was one of the,
yep,
things we talked about, that he didn't have the vision,
right,
of an elite back. And it's tough when you miss wide open holes and miss cutback lanes and you're trying to run through people in the NFL. There's some big boys on the other side of you. So I think that's an interesting point and one that's well taken.
The practice report yet on Sean Lavelle, I think they were trying to get him going
ready
today
to go,
and,
yep,
get him ready to go. So I think it's encouraging. And to questions about the running game, you know, that's right in the wheelhouse, having his presence, his physical presence there. I don't know how much of a dramatic upgrade it's going to mean, quite honestly. And I thought O'Neal Cousins actually played his best game of the three this past game.
He certainly did.
Dave is on his cell. Hey, Dave. Is Dave still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
What's up, Dave?
Hey, I just wanted to say, guys, you know, I'm not sure how sophisticated the running plays are by design, but Willis McGahee only had 2 days of practice last week.
Sure.
I mean, can you talk a little bit about, you know, what having a full week of practice under his belt and learning the offense a little bit more might help him?
I'll hang
up and listen, guys. Thanks.
I was going to say, Dave, it's a little marginal when it comes to a running back. It's such an instinctive and instinctual position. I don't think it's not nearly as complicated. The running plays are fairly basic in this offense as they are in most offenses. It's just about timing with your blockers, and it's about timing also with your quarterback, just going through the whole rhythm and getting used to taking the handoff from that guy. I think the greater challenge is, and you didn't see a ton of it because that is what you have to learn, is the protections and the receiving, the routes, you know, just knowing those things. Although for McGahee's sake, 11 years in the league, this scheme is very, very similar to what he ran in Baltimore with Cam Cameron. Keep that in mind, too. The Cam Cameron and North Turner, it's the same school of offense. And essentially, when Cam, and I'm talking about Cam as the offensive coordinator in Baltimore, McGahee actually has more of the knowledge of that. So that's one of the – he was, you know, targeted specifically because he could hit the ground running with knowledge and experience. The other part of it is just, and you're right, timing and practice would be a key there. I don't know how big of a difference it makes, though, Nathan.
I'm not sure either. And you hope that as the season goes on, this offensive line can do a little bit better of a job than it did, you know, has done thus far opening running lanes. Because Willis McGahee, I think, has the vision to hit the lanes. But let me tell you this, Willis McGahee, in his first game as a member of the Cleveland Browns, averaged 1.1 yard per carry. Willis McGahee in his first game with the Cleveland Browns averaged 1.1 yard per carry after contact. So he was getting hit basically right when he got to the line of scrimmage on every single run that he had. He needs a little bit more room from the offensive line. Hopefully he will get that. And if he does, then I think you're going to see a little bit of an improvement from Willis McGahee going forward and this ground game in general.
Cleveland Browns tickets are on sale now. Don't miss your chance to join the best fans in the NFL at First Energy Stadium for Browns football. Visit clevelandbrowns.com or call 440-824-3434. I want to remind you of that. 216-578-0850 is the number to get with us. And I think Joe is dialed us up now. Joe, are you still there?
Yeah, I am.
What do you got for
What's
us,
What's up,
buddy?
Joe?
Yeah, hey. I had a quick question. I'll hang up and just listen to you guys. My main question was, with Hoyer, I know I'm looking to the future. I know it's a big deal what I'm doing, but what's it going to take for Hoyer to be, like, our guy? Like, you know, the draft's coming up and everything. What if he does really good and goes 9-7? I know it's a huge far stretch, but what if he does do good? What are we going to do in the draft then? Like, what's it going to take for the front office to look at him and say, hey, he's our guy for the future?
I think that's an interesting question. I know Mike Lombardi certainly is a big fan of Brian Hoyer's. I think he would have to show this organization that he has everything that they are looking for in a quarterback and that this is somebody that they feel is a top 16 quarterback in the NFL, because I think that's the cutoff, at least I've heard from people at the top here, that's the cutoff to be able to win a Super Bowl. You need a guy who is in the top half of the National Football League, and that's why you're seeing teams sign guys like Tony Romo, Joe Flacco, Matt Stafford to these lucrative contracts, because in the case of Romo and Stafford, who haven't won a Super Bowl a la Joe Flacco, they know that these guys are still in the top half of the league and these guys have the talent it takes to get it done. So I think he'd have to show a lot. I think that it would be very difficult for Brian Hoyer to say to this organization, there's no need to draft the quarterback next year. I'm the guy.
You know, I posed that question to him yesterday. And again, in his Tom Brady training from his 3 years with New England, he got this point, and the point is, looking that far ahead of things, he said, is so beyond the scope of his mindset right now that
right.
He says, I can't even go there. But he said this: when you're practicing is one thing, preseason games is another. Regular season games, he said, is how you build your resume, and he understands that every opportunity is a resume building thing for him, building chance. So he gets exactly what the thought process is, that could his play influence how this organization looks at the quarterback position in 2014. I think the best case scenario is this, that he is solid or better for these remaining games, that he gets to play most or all of them, that because he continues to prove and would have to do it again Sunday, that he is the guy and nothing's locked in there on that count. And with Brandon Whedon starting to throw this week and eventually deemed healthy enough, that'll come into the thinking, say, next week. But if Hoyer comports himself, if he performs at the level of, hey, this guy is a legit starter for us, and builds upon that, he could be, as I say, solid or to great. And whatever you want to define as great, you use that top 16 reference, anything that just shows more touchdowns and interceptions, more wins than losses, all those things that go with, you know, that position being played at the highest level. And I'd still say to you, best case scenario, it would give this team the opportunity to say, if this is a quarterback-rich draft and we can do something to get a quarterback, they still go for it. If you can get that rare special guy that you've defined in this draft, you still do it. You keep Brian Hoyer, and he is whatever you want him to be. He's your bridge. He's your and he could be a very good bridge, by the way. And ideally, you've got him maybe starting for you for a couple of years while quarterback X isn't playing. Now, the formula in the NFL these days is quarterback X taken in the first round of the draft doesn't sit very long. He plays. Three rookies are going to be playing starting this week, and you've had two playing right along. And then we know what happened last year. So with rookies at that position, but I think you can balance it out. As low as comfortably under the cap as the Browns are, they can get away with that. If Hoyer could give them the bridge, draft the quarterback, draft other pieces, and or sign through free agency other pieces, you're still in good cap shape, and you've made your offense now, and you hope, I'm going to say, as good as the defense. If the defense can be called dominant or close to it, you've put your offense in the area code of that.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think that's the ideal scenario, that at least you know you can have him as a bridge starter or as a quality backup who knows the system and can help educate your new quarterback, because I think that's one of the strengths of Brian Hoyer is his mental capacity, and to have him here being able to coach up whoever it is that comes in next I think will be very valuable for this team, and one of the reasons that I think there's very little doubt in my mind that he will be back with the Cleveland Browns regardless of how the rest of the season goes.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna say regardless means
as long as he doesn't completely tank.
That's
out.
That's what I mean. If he doesn't, you know, the bottom doesn't fall out on him. Yes, I'm with you on that. I'm gonna say they're going for the quarterback. I have no doubt that that's still the plan in 2014, with or without Hoyer, and that's regardless of how Hoyer does in the sense of being really good, excluding bottom falling.
I think you're gonna see a quarterback, a wide receiver. And those two things come off the board very early. Those two positions in the first three picks for the Browns
O-line
next
too.
Year.
I think O-line comes up in that conversation.
And I think they're going to get a running back in free agency. I would not be surprised if Ben Tate is the running back of the Cleveland Browns in 2014.
We'll see on that too. Yeah, good. I know. Do you realize we could start a whole new show and talk about all of that? But you know what? On this show, we're going to talk about guys who are playing this year.
That's right.
Starting wide receiver for the Browns, Devon Best, made his first start for the Browns last week at Minnesota. Our own Jameer Howerton sat down with him inside the locker room. That's coming up on this Football Thursday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, the great CBD, right here on ESPN 850 WKNR.